All right, Psalm 92. Let's look at it for just a minute tonight. And we'll try to cover some ground here. This psalm's been a blessing. And you say, preach, you say that about all of them. Amen. By the time I think, man, it don't get no better than Psalm 91, we get into Psalm 92, Brother Mike, and it just grows. And I'm thankful for it. We want to look at some things tonight. It won't be as exciting as the last couple of weeks have been, and we'll hit a spell in this psalm. That's one thing I love about preaching through a chapter or text. It keeps you real balanced. Some people, they just want to go to church all the time and shout, and I love that. I love to go to church, shout, feel good, amen. They say get goosebumps so big piglets can suck on them. I like that, Brother Jack. I love that. But the Bible's a balanced book, and it kind of brings you back down and really makes you examine your life and makes you learn some things about maybe kind of more in a negative direction to stay away from. And this psalm is kind of like that. It won't be too negative, but we do want to teach us some things tonight from this psalm. And then when we get done with verses 6 through 9 tonight, we'll get the end of this psalm and we'll get back, amen, the goosebumps, amen. All right, Psalm 92, if you want, you can stand with me. I won't read the whole psalm. I'll just read down through verse number 9, and we'll get right after it this evening. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And verse 6 is where we want to pick up on tonight. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. All right? Appreciate you standing. You can be seated. We've been looking at this psalm, Psalm 92. Considering it as it is in the heading, a song to be sung for the Sabbath day. We're not Jews, and since the resurrection, we worship on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And yet we understand that as this was sung on the Sabbath day in the Old Testament, it's still pertinent to you and I in our worship. What themes we find here, what doctrines are contained in Psalm 92 still have an impact on our worship as we approach the Lord with thanksgiving. Psalm 92, we're looking at from the first line of this psalm in verse number 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And so, Brother A.L., we've been dealing with out of this psalm the subject of the goodness of gratefulness. The goodness of gratefulness. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Giving thanks is good. It's a good thing, carrying the idea of good in the sense that it is better than two alternatives. The fact is that the alternatives is to either be thankful or to be unthankful, to give thanks or to withhold our thanks. And I believe we'll see that, we'll see those alternatives come to light in this text tonight. As the psalmist said, it is a good thing. Now, if you're saved and you're a believer and you're a child of God, and you know the Lord, you recognize that God is the author of every good gift and every perfect gift that comes into our life. And as such, we are to be thankful. We're to thank God for His gifts in our life, and especially His unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus that has provided and obtained our salvation. And so no wonder the psalmist said it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It would be morally correct. It would be something that would be proper to do. It is something that would be well-pleasing to God, pleasant to God, and yet very beneficial to even our life. And so this old psalm takes up the theme of being grateful and thankful, and that it is a good thing. And so the goodness of gratefulness. And we looked at in verse number 1-5, the appreciation that as a saint of God here, David contemplates this. He's headed to the place of corporate worship, and he does not want Brother A.L. the rocks doing his praising for him. And so he reminds the crowd as they are assembling, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And yet he's not going to wait on others to begin to do that. He said, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And so immediately he begins to take on a personal appreciation for what God has done in his life. He magnifies several things about our appreciation, the appreciation that should be in the saints of God. We looked at the timing of it, that it is to be in the morning and every night, and in every act that God does in the course of the day, we are to bless the Lord and to give Him thanks. The themes of our appreciation, verse 2, is God's loving kindness and God's faithfulness. The thrust of our appreciation in verse 3, as our lives are depicted in the instrument of 10 strings that is being played, and as our lives are being lived, it is though it is an instrument being played, showing thanks and giving thanks to God. The triumph of our appreciation in verse number 4, that it's in the works of God. When we acknowledge that and we give consideration of those things, that we are made glad and we are caused to triumph in our spiritual journey. And so victory is ours to the degree that we are thankful. Amen. People who have no victory are people who are unthankful. And so we understand the triumph of our appreciation. And then we got one verse, verse 5 on last week, the thoughts of our appreciation. That our appreciation go beyond what God would perform for us. And David settles in on the fact that God would ponder on us. Every work that God does in our life is proof that God is thinking about us. And so we're not just thankful for what God does, but we're thankful that we are on the mind of God. And that God's thoughts of us, God's thoughts of His people, that they are a very, very deep well. And so we did some study last Wednesday night on these thoughts that God has toward us that we ought to be thankful for. And I'll not re-preach all that. That brings us here real quickly now to verses 6-9. And we move from the appreciation that is in this psalm to what we call the abomination. The abomination, as we look here in these verses, the psalmist begins showing a contrast in verse number 6 between the thankful and the unthankful. I remember again what we've said, Brother Larry, that as David begins his psalm, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing, good in the sense that it is the better of two alternatives. Amen. There are two alternatives that we have tonight. There is a choice that every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to make tonight. Are you going to thank God? Are you going to be thankful? Or are you going to be unthankful? And so this is where those alternatives really come to light. A contrast is going to be made. Verses 1-5, the psalmist is saying personally, and inspiring and motivating everybody he can around him, be thankful. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. His works, His loving kindness, His faithfulness, His thoughts toward us. We ought to bless Him every chance we get. And then we come abruptly here in verse number 6, and the contrast is made. A line is drawn between verse 5 and verse number 6, where the psalmist said, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. And so we want to look at this contrast, the brutish man and fool. are said to know, knoweth not, neither understand. And so we consider this tonight. The unthankful do not discern nor distinguish, recognize nor regard nor observe and appreciate the works, name, position, or thoughts that the Lord has toward them. And what a contrast. The psalmist has been saying in verses 1 through 5, I know the works of God. I'm made glad because God is working in my life. I'm triumphing at the greatness of God's mercy and grace that has been extended to my life. To think that God thinks upon me makes me lift my hand in gratitude to the Lord. But he said, the brutish man and the fool do not know this, and they do not understand. They live their life without any regard or recognition of the goodness of God that is in their life. They never consider that it is that the things they have in their life, as we'll see in a moment, are the result of the mercies of God. And so the more they succeed, the more they puff their chest out. And the more and the further they make it up the rungs of the ladder of society and of business, and in the eyes of men, the more they, amen, pat themselves on the back as though they had much to do with it at all. Amen, not recognizing that it is God that has blessed their life. You say, preacher, what is that? I call it an abomination. And God would give them air to breathe. God would give them health in their body. God would give them the opportunities that they have. And my friend, that they would lay hold upon those things and bring them into their bosom without ever acknowledging that it is God that has done these things in their life. That is why I call it an abomination. Does that make sense? Amen. It's a good thing to have appreciation, but and that is the better of two alternatives. Amen. Because the other alternative is a very unholy, a very wicked thing to fall prey to. And so the abomination, the brutish man, is what we want to look at this evening in our study. The brutish man, this brutish man, he's also called a fool in verse number 6. And so consider with me several things tonight about the abomination of this brutish man. Number one, the reflection of the brutish man. The reflection, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. I think there's a reflection in verse number 6 that we need to consider. Consider the description of this man that is unthankful. The description of this man that is called a fool that does not have a knowledge that leads him to be thankful to God. Brutish. Brutish. What a King James Bible word. And I didn't look at the other translations to see how they would have, I don't anyway, for the most part in my study, I only need the King James, but I can only imagine some of the ways the new translations would water this down. A brutish man. You say, what does that mean? Now y'all put your big boy pants on for just a minute, amen, and let me just give you what I found in my study. Amen. Brutish, you'll find the very first word given to define brutish is stupid. And I don't mean that in a vile way and in an arrogant way or in a condescending way. That is the literal definition of brutish. They are stupid. They are senseless. And it speaks of an undisciplined life. A life that is just lived with no spiritual discipline, the matter of being brutish is spoken of in many texts. And so let me enlarge upon this from other texts and to get us back here to what the psalmist says in light of the goodness of gratefulness. Look with me quickly in Proverbs 30. And you'll find here a very interesting passage on this matter of being brutish. In Proverbs 30, verse number 2, this is the words of Agur, the son of Jake, even the prophecy, verse number one, the man spake unto Aphiel, even unto Aphiel and Ucal, surely, notice what he said, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. He's describing his life at some point in situation and circumstances going in. Now, notice verse number three, I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the holy. And so he said, what has made me brutish, what describes me as being a brutish man, is that I have not the understanding of a man. I don't have knowledge. I do not have understanding, and have not learned wisdom nor have understanding of the holy. That is, to be brutish is to be absent-minded toward the wisdom of God. Amen. To be a brutish man is to be void of the wisdom of God. Amen. To live your life with no knowledge of what is holy, what is right, and any knowledge of what God has declared in His Word. Amen. And so we say tonight, in light of that text, and we're living in a brutish generation. Amen. A generation that only knows right and wrong based upon what they see with their own eyes. They have not learned the wisdom of God, and they have no knowledge of the holy. Brother Jeremy preached on the street with some other men in Gatlinburg outside of one of the moonshine places just a few weeks ago, and he sent me a video even today, and I thought while I was even thinking, when you sent that, there's a young man outside of the moonshine, facility waiting in line. He's got his thug shirt on and saggy shorts on, and got his ball cap, I think, maybe on. And he is mocking them and saying, well, who gives you the right to stand out here and tell people that they're wrong? And those preachers were pleading with the young man to pay attention to what God has said in His Word. Ain't about what we think. It ain't about our opinion. It ain't about us being or thinking we're better than you. It is about what God has said in His Word. And in that video, that young man begins to mock them for standing and crying in public aloud against the sins that are everywhere there on the sidewalk as people pass by. Amen. You say, and I'm not being arrogant tonight, but that was a brutish man and had no understanding of the holy. And we see that in our society all around. As you stand, especially as a preacher will stand, and even preach in a pulpit, how that people will reject that understanding of the holy, my friend, is mind-boggling all the time. Amen. We see it in society. We see it all around. Psalm 94, let me hasten or I'm going to bog down. Psalm 94, and in verse number 8, I believe it is the verse that I want to look at, where we find the psalmist here said, understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? And so again, we have the idea that Proverbs 30 and verse number 2 and 3 give, that to be brutish is to be lacking spiritual understanding and spiritual wisdom. And the idea here is that the brutish are called upon to understand and to be wise to the Lord's dealing with sin. When you read on past verse number 8, he said, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? And so the idea in Psalm 94, and we'll see that, amen, at the rate we're going in about 3 more years, all right? But in Psalm 94, what the psalmist is saying is that a brutish man thinks God doesn't see their sin, and that God is not holding an account of their sin against them, and they think that God will never chasten them and correct them for their sin. that God somehow is either going to overlook it or that God does not know what is going on. And so the psalmist says, when are you going to understand? When are you going to be wise that God sees everything you do, hears everything you say, and knows every place you've been, and knows every sin that is in your life? And a brutish man is called upon to understand and be wise concerning that. Psalm 32 and in verse number 9. Psalm 32 and in verse number 9. For he spake, that's not it, that's 33. Psalm 32, 9. Notice this, this is really important to get us back to where we want to be. He said, be ye not as the whores, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. And what we find here is that there's a description here of what it is to be brutish. When we look at a brutish man, you'll find that it is to be as though they were a beast. To be as though they were a beast without understanding, a beast that is just walking in its beastly nature. And so we find here in this text that we are called upon to be not as the horse or as the mule. Don't be as a beast and lacks understanding. Amen. Amen. And so we find here, amen, that one of the ideas behind the word brutish is to be like a beast in the field who has no understanding of anything other than its own selfish desires. When the Bible speaks of a brutish man, it is a man with a beast-like nature that is only interested in itself. Psalm 73, and Psalm 73, one of the things you'll find predominantly about the brutish man is that the brutish man speaks of a lost man. But in Psalm 73, we find Asaph, a child of God, a saved man, a man who knew God and had relationship with God. You remember in Psalm 73, he's at a low point in his life. He's looking around as a child of God. He sees as though the wicked are growing and flourishing and prospering and getting by with their sin. And in a low point of his life, he begins to be envious and desirous of the life of the wicked. Now notice what he says about himself in Psalm 73. And in verse number 22, so foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. And so you know what Asaph is saying? He is saying, I've been struggling with this matter of my relationship with God, wondering is it worth it, wondering why it is that it seems like the wicked are getting by and the godly are suffering at their very hand. And he became envious of what they had in life. And his confession of his own failure is, I am acting just like a brutish man, a beast, amen, when I fall prey to this. Amen. What is the idea? I think the idea Asaph really gives us is that he reached a point in his life where he began to grow unthankful. Amen. He began to envy the wicked and thus is unthankful for what God has given. And the confession of his own failure is, amen, so foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. And that brings us to Psalm 92 and in verse number 6, where we put all of this together. Amen, this evening, the fact that he said, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. They do not know. They do not have the wisdom. They do not possess a spiritual discernment in their heart. And God is the one that gives man everything he has. Amen, even the lost man tonight, it is the goodness of God in his life that woke him up this morning. It is the grace of God in his life that did not thrust him into hell today. Amen. And the brutish man does not know that. Amen. He is a beast. He is a mule. He is rebellious in his nature. Amen. That he will not acknowledge God's hand upon his life. And so he does not know this. And as thus, he goes right on through life, ignoring what God has given. Amen. For his own salvation. He goes right on through life. Amen. Without acknowledging that Christ died for his sin, was buried and raised again the third day for his justification. He thinks he doesn't need that. He thinks, my friend, that is beyond him. And that is why the psalmist is so dogmatic and so graphic and so, amen, descriptive in the way that he would define an unthankful man as being brutish. Amen. When Paul would deal in the New Testament, amen, I think that when you come in the New Testament, at the New Testament would call the brutish man the natural man. Amen. The brutish man is the natural man. Amen. In speaking about the things of God and wisdom and understanding and Brother Larry, the Word of God and who Jesus is. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Amen. He doesn't know them, neither can he understand them. And what is that? That's the natural man. Amen. The natural man is an unthankful man. A natural man does not receive that. He doesn't have that knowledge. His heart is hard and his eyes are blinded that he cannot see. Amen. That's why when you give the gospel to a sinner, amen, there's no gratitude in his heart. Amen. I know we're saved by grace through faith. Amen. But the morning that I got born again, amen, I was grateful that Jesus paid what I could not pay. Amen. The Holy Ghost took me beyond the natural man, and I realized that, amen, in my natural state, that God had been so good to me, and the goodness of God which leadeth men to repentance worked in my life, and grace was revealed, the blinders fell off, a glorious light of the gospel was seen, and there was something in the moment of that faith that said, thank God, and though I could not pay for my sin, Jesus, amen, by his blood paid it all. Amen. And this brutish man became a believing man. And thank God I received the wisdom of God. Amen. I didn't mean to get carried away right there, but I'm glad. Amen. The Lord is in the business, amen, of reaching out to the brutish. And if they'll but, my friend, let the gospel open their eyes, amen, if they'll let the light of it fall upon their soul, amen, they can go from being brutish to being believers. Amen. Go from being, my friend, ignorant to being brought into the light. Amen. They can, my friend, go from being brutish to born again and be saved by the grace of God. Amen. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Amen. In light of the sinner man, this reflection. But, amen, what about in light of what Asaph said, our own lives is God's children. Amen. You still have a natural man living on the inside of you. Amen. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not walking in gratitude and thankfulness. Amen. You become a big shot in your own eyes. Amen. And maybe we begin to drift thinking, man, I'm envious of the world and what they have. Or maybe, amen, thinking we don't need the touch of God upon our life. Amen. All of a sudden, we began to be walking as though we were a beast in the field before God. Amen. And since that time, we got to confess, as Asaph did to the Lord, our own failure, so God can recover you and I. Amen. And I believe the pathway back, amen, to a lot of things and a lot of spiritual failures in our life, amen, is to have a renewed gratefulness in our life that brings us out of that brutish state. Amen. and began to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been looking at this thing the wrong way. Amen. I'm thankful that, yes, things may be hard and the days may be long and the nights may feel longer, but you've still been good to me. You're still thinking about me. And a brutish man, saved or lost, a brutish man does not give this consideration. Amen. We see the reflection of the brutish man. I got to quit. Amen. Notice the rising of the brutish man in verse number 7. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish. Notice here that the brutish man is said to spring and to flourish. It shows that their lives are many times and in many ways blessed by the God they never consider and acknowledge. This is something I think the Word of God is very, very clear on. Amen. That even before we were saved, Brother Jack, God was being good to you and I. And God, no matter how prosperous you were in life, amen, that no matter how you excelled on the job, the opportunities that you were given, that, my friend, the goodness of God was at work in our life. And so the brutish man even finds success in life. A brutish man finds that at times he springs, he flourishes, his bank accounts grow. Amen, finds great opportunities in life at times. Amen, not ever considering that that is the blessing of God. He's rising, he's springing, he's flourishing. Amen, and he thinks this is the way that it will always be. The psalmist said here in verse number 7, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. And so though they may rise, no matter how high they may rise, no matter how great they may be viewed in the eyes of men, and no matter, amen, how great they can entertain the crowds, and no matter how loud the applause may be to them in their venue of entertainment or athleticism, amen, the fact of the matter is the day will come, amen, that the blessings will stop, the grace will run out, and the line of God's goodness will be drawn, amen, and they will come crashing down. The reflection and the rising, amen, notice with me, I like verse number 8, I need more time on this one, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. Amen. Verse 7 said they're springing. You know what springing is? Amen. That is being exalted. That is growing. That is, amen, they're being elevated. But what the psalmist said, amen, it doesn't matter how big the brutish get. It doesn't matter how far they go. Amen. The Lord is the one who is most high. Amen. They'll never be bigger than God is. They'll never go higher than God is. They'll never be any more exalted than God is over them. Amen. And so I wrote it down this way. No matter how the brutish man boasts of his earthly success, the Lord still reigns over him. Amen. They, my friend, can attain billions of dollars to their name. Amen. They can get great prestige and great name and find favor, my friend, in the world in which we live. Amen. But at the end of every day, God still reigns most high. Amen. God is still on the throne. Amen. That's what sometimes you and I forget. Amen. As we make our way through life, we'll find ourselves as Asaph did. Amen. I didn't know we'd go back to that so much tonight, but Brother Jerry, we find ourselves as Asaph envying the wicked. Amen. Because we get our eyes off of the Lord that is reigning tonight. Amen. And in that, when we consider the abomination of the brutish, amen, and how they mock our God, they mock our faith. But my friend, what keeps you and I thankful along the way? Amen. Is that we look how big they may be, and we see one even bigger and more exalted beyond them. Amen. That is absolutely reigning tonight. Amen. W.S. Plumer, that I've told you about, that I read, he's got a large volume on the Psalms, the biggest volume on the Psalms that I have. But W.S. Plumer said, Amen. In the, of this verse, in every sense, God is gloriously exalted above want, above casualty, above the power of enemies, above the necessity of human expedience, above all possibility of suffering, and all this to eternity. In other words, just simply put, amen, it doesn't matter what it is and what you see and how big sinners and the brutish may get, our Lord reigns over everything.